Welcome back to the Dependency and Decaf podcast. I am Lillian Ketchum, and I am the host of this podcast, and let's just get right into this week's episode.
Hello. It's not just me today. There's someone else here. If you are new to the Dependency and Decaf podcast, I start every episode by talking about my favorite recent coffee order. And I thought that it was only fit to talk about Happy Monday. Shout out Happy Monday. They are my all-time favorite coffee shop, and they have a drink there right now called Grandma's House. And apparently you're supposed to order it with a Southern accent. So I highly recommend the Grandma's House. And essentially, it's maple and vanilla and cardamom, I think is how you say it, which is like a spice that is in chai. So it's a very fall drink, and I get it every single time, and it never disappoints. So that is my favorite recent drink. I'm going to have our silly little guest share her favorite recent drink.
I'm Lydia. That's my name. And my favorite drink, also from Happy Monday, actually, is a matcha latte with oat milk and honey. It's actually good anywhere. Money. Yeah, it's okay. So good. Okay. Because then you're not like too much vanilla, you know? If you're sick of the coffee flavors, put honey in it. Because honey and coffee, not really my favorite. But you can get away with it in matcha. So.
Period.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Lydia and I go way back.
Right.
Way back. We go back to freshman year of college. We honestly, we just started talking. There really wasn't like...
No, what happened was we got added in this insane group chat. Shout out to anybody who was in that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know who you are. Or maybe you don't, because I forgot about it too. And we got put in this group chat together, and we were like the only two girls, and we were like, what is this? And we just started like snapping just each other and just wouldn't answer the group chat. And I was like, wait, I actually kind of love her. Mm-hmm. And then we met, I don't even think we met on orientation day, but we met at some point. And we just,
you
like,
gave me a stick and poke.
Yes.
In Clay Commons.
If you're the Minnesota government, don't come for me. Don't come for me. I'm sorry.
The Minnesota government.
I know that's legal.
Hey.
She's not infected. She kept her limbs.
Right. It still looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Period. Since then, I have given her other tattoos.
Yes.
If this is also, again, if you work for the Minnesota government. No, I didn't. She got them at a tattoo shop.
But yeah, Lydia and I go back to freshman year of college. We used to hang out until like 3 or 4 in the morning every night, and I would bring my like huge 2-pound tub of cookie dough with a spoon, and we would just sit and talk, and I would just eat my cookie dough, and it was great.
Yeah, I would have the occasional spoonful as well. It was fire. It was so fun. No, we were just like rot.
Yeah,
and
it was rot.
It was so rot. Mm-hmm. Honestly, probably not good for us.
That's okay.
But you know what?
But we're
it built a lovely friendship. We're really healthy now.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Haven't had a tub of cookie dough in a, since then. So, praise the Lamb.
Right.
But Lydia's awesome. She is granola girl baddie. Follow her Instagram.
Oh.
It's really cute. I stalk it sometimes. She's also really cool. She's like the coolest person that I know. And I can't look at her when I say it because I'm going to laugh. But she's really awesome. So everyone needs a Lydia in their life.
Aww.
And so we had to have her on the podcast. So
okay,
everyone, right.
Yeah.
Right. Because everyone needs to experience her at least a little bit. So Lydia, you can take it away.
Okay.
It's all yours.
One thing I would like to add too is like, we definitely have seen each other through like some vicious lows and some wonderful highs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right now is our high.
Mm-hmm.
I think for both of us.
Yes.
But we've seen each other through a lot. And I think, like, one thing that's been so beautiful about, like, our friendship is just the way that, like, even in those, like, terrible, terrible moments, we're like, yep, this friendship is still focused on the Lord, though, because we started it like that, even though we were so young in our walk with the Lord, even. Like, we just had it, like, set. Like, we're like, this is for God. This is for God.
Amen.
And it looks so different now, obviously, than it did then, but it's just been a friendship dedicated to him, and it's been so beautiful. So, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, my God. Clink! The plastic.
Yes.
My spices are swirling around the bottom of that coffee. But yeah, basically the topic we kind of felt the need to touch on was just kind of like identity, specifically in friendships with girlies.
Yeah.
That's going to be the main focus, at least.
We've been around the sun a few times with that one.
We've been around the sun.
Combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah, just like a little bit about me, I guess, is I, at least with this subject, I went through a time in my life where, actually, like, not even that long ago, just like in the last couple years, like being around so much Christian community, and like we were saying, me and Lily going to a Christian college together, like you are around a lot of people who love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in that you can, and a lot of people who maybe don't, but you'd think they would,
yeah,
too. Mm-hmm. Not to drag them down at all, but we often have been put in places where you can easily compare yourself to people who are just like walking with him day to day, because you see them every day. Mm-hmm. And you see people who are like really living for him, and it's easy to fall into that, just like, oh, like, you're doing so well. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And it's like you kind of lose the encouraging aspect of being a sister in Christ when you're so focused on yourself.
Yeah.
Because like, how can I celebrate you when I'm so focused on how much I hate myself?
Mm-hmm. That'll preach.
Yeah.
That'll preach.
And like for me, I was always measuring things in my mind. Like I would look at people in my life, like whether it was just closest girlfriends, whether it was just people that I'd see in class, or like speakers even, I would be like measuring them in my mind, like, where are you at in your walk, where are you at in this way, like, where do I have you beat, even to like try to like cope with it.
Yeah.
And I would just measure, yeah, I would just like try to hold myself to different places in comparison to them when I just didn't have to be doing that. Like, you can be, your walk with the Lord can be entirely separate from somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is. It is that way. And the enemy is going to try to convince you that it's not, and that it's like a race, because that's just like our sin nature. That's our flesh wanting to take over somebody else.
That's good.
Yeah. And just like with that, like, you just will not stop comparing yourself to people, like, if you don't like fix the internal issue. Like, because your mind is going to be like, okay, like, I'll stop comparing myself to people when I lose the weight. I'll stop comparing myself to people when I, like, post this picture that I look really good in, when I start my ministry, even, when I, like, fill up my Bible with notes, when I go to the conference. Like, that is all external remedies and a topical treatment to the heart issue that is actually taking root.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
That's so good. That made me think of, like, my entire life, frankly. Right. I was trying to think of how to word that. I should specify, like, my walk with God at North Central specifically, because I came into North Central very insecure, not knowing who I was in general, but also who I was in Christ, not knowing my calling in that extent, and, like, just what I wanted to do with my life at all. And I look back and I dealt with so much imposter syndrome, in the sense that I was like, I shouldn't be here. Like, I'm not a good enough Christian to be here. And especially feeling a tug on my heart and a passion for preaching the word and like sharing my story and the things that God has taught me, I felt so like ill-equipped to do that while being at a Christian school, because there were all these different kinds of people who were Bible and theology majors and were pastoral majors, and they knew so much about the word, and I didn't. And so I categorized myself as unworthy to do that because I didn't know as much. Right. Which, I'm gonna be so real, I still struggle with that sometimes, being at a Christian school. But I think where the shift happened for me was knowing that God created me to be me specifically, mm-hmm. and not to be somebody else. And there's a reason that I'm not a Bible and theology major called to preach the word. There's a reason that I am a marketing major, and God has me more focused on business and speaking than just speaking.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that comes with kind of what you were saying, is being confident in who God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So. The other things that we focus on, like filling our notes or our appearance even, or like how our walk with God appears, mm-hmm. or like, oh, like once I preach that sermon, like they'll respect me and they'll know that I'm good enough to preach, mm-hmm. and they'll know that I actually know the word. Those are legit thoughts that I've had at the school. Is it actually does fill that void, but only temporarily.
Right.
And it's like putting a band-aid over the bullet hole, and it doesn't actually get to the problem and like fix the problem. It just temporarily covers it up.
Yeah.
And you can go on doing that for a while and be just fine, mm-hmm. but you're eventually going to bleed out because you're not healing the bullet hole wound in your heart, and you're just covering it up with little things. And the thing about bleeding out is that it doesn't just affect you, it affects the people who are close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I had to learn this past year, was as I was low-key going through an identity crisis with the Lord. It's like, oh man, like knowing who I am doesn't just affect me, it also affects the people around me. Right. So
get to the
root issue.
That's so good.
Right, because it does like feel good in the moment, because mm-hmm. you're getting affirmation from people, and even like the compliment, like, oh, you're such a woman of God. It's like, and it eats down, unfortunately, every time. Unfortunately, it eats down. But it's like, do I know that I'm a woman of God because someone's telling me I'm a woman of God, or because God says I'm a woman of God?
Come on.
Or because I actually know God.
Talk about it.
Okay. Because that's where our identity should come from. It should be, I know him, he knows me. Not, hey, I know him because somebody else recognized that I do this really well, or I'm really walking with him because I'm just so like, I'm just walking in conviction. I'm just like all the, like, do you know your identity outside of what anybody else notices? Like, that's what being, having like a hidden life with Christ is. It's that's like, so I don't care what you are saying about me, even if it's a good thing, because it's like, it doesn't change anything, because my value is set.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Period.
That's so good.
That's so good.
Yeah. Just like when God is in the right place in our lives, like, we don't need the approval of man, because we like know that we have the approval of God. Like, we know that it's already ours.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's really good.
And it kind of, one scripture I like wrote down with that is Ephesians 6:12, and it's, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So it's like, the enemy's gonna try to get you to believe literally anything about you yourself other than what God says, even if it's like a deception. Like, it's not always going to be something crazy, you know? Like, maybe he can't get you to believe like you're a sociopath and crazy, but he can get you to think that you're not qualified, or like that you need to put in a couple more hours before you share the gospel with somebody, because because you don't fully know. But it's like, that's all false, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just need the power of your testimony.
That's so good.
One thing that I have learned and observed of the enemy in my life is that if he can't get me to sin, he'll do anything he can to make sure that I'm not walking fully in God's will for my life. And if that means him coming for my identity to discourage me and make me feel like I'm not good enough, then obviously I'm not going to be able to take steps of faith, because I'm believing those lies. So that's why I love that verse. It was Ephesians 6:12, because it proves that scripture is true. Because when you really start to see your life through that lens of scripture, it's like, oh man, no wonder I've been struggling with my identity, because I have this thing coming up that God is calling me to do, and the enemy's trying to discourage me and make me feel like I can't do it. It's like, boy, bye. Who do you think you are?
Right.
Who do you think you are to tell me you didn't die to save my life?
No.
So who are you to define it?
My boy's kicking and screaming. He's just mad, bro. Like, oh.
He's kicking and screaming.
He's not the kicking and screaming. How embarrassing. The other, that like kind of leads into the other attack of the enemy to, if you are free, to look down on other people who aren't.
Oh,
because
talk about it.
Because once you're free from something, you kind of are aware of it. Like, for the most part, you usually are. Like, it's like, okay, if I really struggled with, like, this sin, now it's really easy for me to recognize in other people. Yeah. Especially if it's, like, a mannerism or, like, a heart posture issue. Yeah. Like, you start to, like, see it in other people once you see it in yourself. Mm-hmm. And the enemy wants you to start to look down on people for something that you literally just struggled with and God freed you from. I'm like, girl, if God freed you from it, why can't he free them from it?
Right.
And why do we think we're better than somebody else just because it's taking them a little bit longer or because it hasn't been revealed yet?
Right. That's so good.
And so just, like, having that heart, like, again, with your identity, knowing your identity in Christ, mm-hmm. and, like, also how that ties with being a sister in Christ is speaking that identity over other people. Like, when God reveals something about who you are or who you are as a daughter, like, that doesn't just apply to you.
Yeah.
That applies to other people. And how can you share that with people lovingly instead of, hey, you're doing this wrong? Because that's not what God did for you. He revealed it to you kindly. Mm. And he wants you to bring that to other people. Like, that's the gift of, like, revelation on our sin is, like, we can help other people through it without being condemning.
Right.
I definitely have experienced that in my life with my friendships, like, over this past year, because I was going through a really hard time mentally, and there were some circumstances in my life where that made that harder for me. I've experienced that with my friendships in the sense that there's a difference between convicting someone and calling them higher out of love.
Right.
And that's why godly friendships are so special, because you have history with that person, kind of like you do with Jesus, when his Holy Spirit is convicting you. He's like, hey, I'm just letting you know that you got a little, like, milk stash on your face because I love you. And I don't want you to walk around with that there because I know it's going to affect you.
Right.
And so it's the same thing with godly friendships. Like, my roommate, Alexis, shout out to Alexis. She listened to me cry a lot last year and rant a lot last year about a lot of different situations that were going on in my life. And she was always a really good and gentle listener. But then if I was talking from a wrong place, she would always make a point to say, hey, like, I feel like the past few times that you've talked about this week, you've really been coming from a place of bitterness. Mm. And that's not what God wants for you. Or for that person. And so it's honestly a gift that we're able to see things like that in others, because what the enemy wants to do with that is have you look at them less because they're struggling with something that you struggled with and say, why haven't you figured this out yet? But what God wants to do with it is say, hey, this is just like my revealing Holy Spirit to say, hey, like, I see that you're really struggling with this. I walked through the same thing and I would love to walk through this with you. Like, how can I call you higher? Because I know that this isn't God's best for you.
Right.
And so that goes back to even like Ephesians 6:12, when you really look at your life through the lens of scripture, and through the lens of, man, everything really is a spiritual battle, even in your friendships.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is how God's plan for this was. And this is why he's allowing me to see this in this way. And this is what the enemy's going to try to do through it.
Also, like, women with women, like, such a special relationship, first of all. But it's going to be such like a, it's like your closest relationship other than like it should be your closest relationships other than obviously if you're married or like if you're dating, you know, like it's gonna be somebody who calls things out on you and for no selfish reason. There's no selfish gain for me to call you higher because I'm not in a relationship with you.
Right.
Like, I just do it because I love you as my friend and I want the best for you.
Right.
And like, so you can trust that female friendships, like that's where your depth is supposed to be in relationships. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but your closest friend should not be a man.
Talk about it.
Because they're not going to call things out in you in the same way.
Yeah.
They're not going to, because they don't get it. They don't know your heart the way that other women do.
Right.
Or the way that your spouse will one day.
Right.
You know?
That's so good.
That's also why it's so important to know who you are and to be firm in that, because when you're in that place, you're actually able to function in your friendships out of a place of love and out of a place of sound identity, which then makes it easier when you're on the receiving end of getting called out to not be bitter and to not be angry and to not let the way that you're receiving it be separation and tearing your friendship apart, but actually building each other up and saying, wow, like, thank you for being a friend that cares about me and my heart so much that you acknowledge these things in my life that I don't see because you want to call me higher. But if you're insecure and you're struggling with people pleasing, chronic people pleaser right here, my whole life I've struggled with it. And, you know, if I'm in a place where I'm insecure and I'm thinking about how I can please people and one of my friends is telling me something, I'm going to take that as an insult. I'll be like, man, I'm just not a good friend. Like, I could be doing so much more with my life. Like, I'm miserable. There's not value I'm adding to people's life. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do with those situations. Like, he wants separation. He doesn't want unity in the body of Christ. And I think what Lydia was saying is so good about, like, women with women. There is something special about women of God being able to come together that's different from anything I've ever experienced personally.
Right. And like encouragement, like it's very easy to receive encouragement and exhortation from somebody you know isn't attracted to you too, because it's like, I know you're not just saying this to like get me to like
gas
you or
me
get
up. Me
to, right, like that's, it's so like, good, it's never like just out of like flattery, like it's real. And like that's why it's so important to encourage your friends and your sisters in Christ, because it's like it actually means something, it means everything. And like the Lord can first of all speak through you, and then also just like it builds you up as you build other people up, and it like affirms your identity in Christ, because it's very Christ-like to bring people closer to him in that way.
That's so good.
One thing that I have struggled with is, like, once you, and, like, with that, like, being a girl's girl, like, kind of what we were just talking about, is, like, once you're a girl's girl, you're gonna be able to see the pick-me girls, unfortunately. And that's even wrong for me to say that, like, because we shouldn't be calling anybody a pick-me girl or, like, putting that label on somebody, like, oh, like, you're not for the girls. Like, that's how you bring people to be for the girls, is you show them the power of love and like without condition, without even the thought, oh, I'm doing this because I need you to be like bring to this side. Like we need to be viewing each other as equal, and like, sure, if there's an issue, call it out, but encourage each other. Like, all, like, what was that verse? It's like, outdo each other in showing, affection and like,
yeah,
we should be doing that.
Amen.
By default, and no second thought about your, like, you shouldn't even have to worry about your own motives in it. Like, I don't want to have to worry about why I'm doing it. I just want to do it because I love them. Like, I want it to be, like, overflow, because I'm so firm in Jesus' love for me that it just pours out over other people.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, we're going on to the topic of men real quick, because... You know, we love to do it.
Right.
You just got to.
Right.
So how you always just, come back to it. Here we go. Buckle up.
Buckle your seatbelt. That was just intense eye contact with the
If you're driving, you should have already been buckled, but double down.
That also, again, like, this kind of, like, leads into, like, you're not competing with other girls. Like, if you do feel like you tend to have that, like, okay, I really need this man's attention, or if you're somebody who's gotten past that, it's like, you are not competing with other people, period. Like, your sisters in Christ are your sisters in Christ. They are not your competition. And like, that's actually really sad. Like, my heart breaks for you if you see things that way, because I've been there, and it's exhausting.
Same.
Like, always, like, analyzing everybody and like their qualities. And, like almost like a bullet point list, kind of like what we talked about in the very beginning of the episode. Yeah. Like, you have a ministry, you have this, you have a good Instagram, you have whatever. It's like, like, that shouldn't be qualities that you feel a man is looking for, first of all, because those are your brothers in Christ. Like, they, first of all, have other things they look for.
Yeah.
But also just, like, how sad to, like, always have to be, like, thinking about your female friendships in a way of like, what if you have more to offer than me?
Right.
Yeah. Really, like, cringy sparkle emoji Pinterest quote, but like it's so true, is that someone else's beauty is not a lack of your own.
Right.
And when you really start to walk that out in your walk with the Lord, it changes your perspective to actually be able to rejoice with people who are rejoicing and mourn with people when they're mourning, because you're so sound in who you are despite what other people are.
Yep.
That you're actually being able to say, oh man, as much as I want to be married and as much as I want to be engaged, my best friend just got engaged and, you know, she's got all this A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But it's like, if we're truly firm in the fact that someone else's goodness and gifts and qualities are not a lack of our own, then I'm truly able to look at that friend and say, man, I'm so overjoyed that you're in this season of life right now.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that like God finally came through for something that you've been waiting for so long, and I'm here to rejoice with you and or mourning with those who mourn. And I feel like you can like talk about this, but then it's like, okay, how do I do that practically?
Right.
I know for me, it had to be dealt in the war zone of the secret place, where I just had to be honest about the ugly things in my life with the Lord and say, Lord, I really don't like how you made me. I don't like how you made me sometimes. I don't like that I was made this way and not this way. I don't like that I struggle with this and not this. And it obviously breaks his heart because he made us with so much intentionality, but he can take it. And if we're not truly honest, then there's not going to be true change.
Right.
And so if you truly want to get better and want to be more firm in who you are, it takes you being able to accept where you are right now and bring that to the Lord and say, okay, God, like I want to get better and I want to change my heart and my perspective on this, but I'm just going to throw up all of this right now and just ask you to do something with it because I don't want to feel this way anymore. And it's not just a one and done process because I went through that for a year and I'm still going through it. It's honestly something that, not in a discouraging way, but I feel like you never check the box on because the enemy will continuously try to come back at you with it. But it does get easier because it's like lifting weights in the gym. You can go in and try and start with the 25s and it will be way too heavy. But the more that you go in there and you continue to do it, the easier it gets. And it's the same thing with our identity in Christ. Is the more that we're spending time with him, the more that we're renewing our mind with scriptures, and the more that we're laying these things at his feet, the easier it's going to get when those temptations come to compare yourself or those temptations come to tell yourself that you're not good enough or that you're not A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's going to be like, man, that's so funny that I used to struggle with that so bad. Like, I'm just so happy for her that I don't even have room in my mind to compare myself right now because I know who God made me to be and I like who he made me to be.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, that kind of just reminds me of, like, how important, like, as this is something that I realized the other day, or I was just thinking about the other day. And I think sometimes with, like, simple topics or simple solutions, we can kind of get to a point where we're like, eh, I've heard that before. But it's, like, how important Thanksgiving is, because if we aren't thankful for what he's given us and the ways he's revealed himself to us and the ways he made us, like, we are going to miss out on the glory of God.
That's good.
And we're going to think that our life sucks a lot more than it actually does because we're not giving him the glory for things that he has clearly shown his face and given us.
That's good.
Like, I want, and like, how can we steward what we have if we don't even, if we're not even thankful for it? Because we don't even know, like, we don't even give him the credit.
Right.
Like, how, like, how many times have I, like, I heard this analogy, like, I pray for a house, but I can't even keep my room clean. Or like, like, I really want a new car, but I won't even take care of this one. Like, it's my dream car. It's like, why, it's like the same thing about yourself. It's like, I really, Lord, I desire like a tender heart towards people. I desire just to be made more into your image. And it's like, well, when I gave you an opportunity to respond nicely to the situation, you spat in their face.
Wow.
You know?
That's good.
So
it's kind of like, I'm laughing at myself right now. It's almost like God created me to be me and not you.
That's like crazy, right?
And it's almost like he had my life planned out from beginning to end and like knew when he was going to give me things and knew when he was going to take things away and knew when he was going to move things along in my life. And he knew the same thing for you, and he knew that it wasn't going to be the same.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
And we just, like, can't grasp it. We're just like...
And we're so
prideful. We're so prideful to be like, oh my gosh, God, why are you doing that in Lydia's life? Right. Who knows? Maybe she's literally been praying for that for 20 years. And I just started praying for it last week, and I'm like, boy, why'd you give it to her first? Be so for real.
No, I know you're lying. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Actually, I know you're not lying, Lord. Because you don't lie.
Right.
Girl, you cannot delete that.
That was crazy. Man.
Back to, like, relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be friendship or, like, with a guy or a girl, whatever. I'm not saying no man is listening to this. Who knows? But, like, releasing someone else's actions from your identity, like, allows you to, like, fully forgive because you're not trying to muscle your way through the now negative view of yourself. Mm. Kind of like what you're saying, like, you would get so, like, when your heart isn't right towards, like, correction, you're going to get downcast on yourself about, like, what people are saying when they're just trying to love you well.
Yeah.
Or even if they say something that, like, is, or if they correct you even in a wrong way that leaves you feeling, like, kind of terrible about yourself, like, in the dumps. But there is truth to it. It's like, how do we, like, hold on to the correction from the Lord, but release other people's kind of, like, sin from the way they approached it? And it's just, like, knowing your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, Lord, like, they came to me with this issue and, like, screamed it in my face. I know what you say about me, so I know that I didn't deserve that, but I also know that I can do better at this, and I accept your correction.
Yeah.
And it's like so having good. A lowly heart, like, to accept even things when it's like, that's not right and that's not fair, because it's like, well, God's fair. So, like, we can trust that he can handle things like that.
Mm. That's so good. And that's, like, the importance of viewing your life through a lens of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And when 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." Like, that's what walking through life having a sound mind is constantly refreshing your mind daily with scripture, so that when you get those lies and you experience those hurtful things that want you to react in a fleshly way, you're able to take the approach of scripture and say, oh, they might have said this about me, but I know who God says that I am. Right. And this doesn't align.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the process of having a sound mind. And then when you truly, like, start to walk that out in your life, you're able to just experience so much more peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what is going on. Because you're just so confident in, like, what scripture says and who God calls you to be, that you just, like, have eyes that have a different perspective in life than they did before.
Right. And just, like, the realization, like, he's so jealous for you. And it's like, okay, like, he already has Lily. He wants me. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I have this person. I want this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you. Separate. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to be them.
Yeah.
If I wanted you to be them, wouldn't I just, like, not want you? It's like, you just have to know how badly he wants you, and then your identity will come.
That's so
Because, like, you're a daughter. He wants you.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't want you to be like you, he wouldn't have, like...
made you that way.
Right. Like, you just wouldn't even be. Like, make two Lilies if he wanted two Lilies, but he didn't.
That would be really chaotic. There would be a lot of coffee stains.
Oh, so that would be a jump scare. I mean, hey, girls.
Right.
No, I always say, or, like, pray over people who are struggling with identity and knowing who they are, is that God looked at the world and they looked at Lydia and they said, okay, the world needs a Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
God looked at the world. He looked at me. He's like, God needs a Lily. He looked at the world. He's like, man, the world needs an Alexis.
Yeah.
He doesn't need another Lily. He doesn't need another Lydia. And it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's just that there was so much intentionality in his thoughts of you specifically. And he's like, man, I know that the world needs Lydia exactly how I made Lydia to be.
Right.
Because that's how I want it.
Yeah.
It's her.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Blonde hair, cute jewelry.
It's fake blonde. It's fake. I'm brunette. But yeah,
secrets.
He knew I bleached it.
He knew. That's crazy. He did.
He saw that one coming.
Hashtag all knowing.
He said, when you're blonde as a kid, it's really hard to let go of it.
That's so funny.
Okay, and then one last thing that kind of like came up when thinking about this is like thinking about people's anointing. Mm. That's something that I really like personally see in people that I'm like, oh, like it's hard not to be envious of some people's like things that they're like really good at or like good for. Like the Lord was like, ooh, like Lily, such a good preacher, like anointed preacher, right? Like, how do you like realize like your anointing and somebody else's anointing without getting like jealous? And I think it's like in knowing that you are anointed yourself, as opposed to, oh, you're so anointed, why am I not? And I was reading a commentary, and in 2 Corinthians 1:21, Paul refers to like three aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in us, and it's that he has anointed us, sealed us, and guaranteed us the Holy Spirit as like a down payment. And then the only other place that talks about anointing in the New Testament is 1 John 2:20 and 2:27. And the theme of that is that it's common to all believers and not just like a select few that are just like really like cracked, basically. And anointing is just being empowered and prepared for service.
Yeah.
And so like I'm just like, wow, like I love Lily's anointing. She's really good at serving when she's like her preaching is the way that she's serving God right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the Lord's on it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, like, the way that we're... Like, you can be an anointed chair stacker. You can be an anointed, like, coffee maker. Like, it's, like, the Lord... Like, where he calls you to serve is where you're anointed. And it's, like, you do not... It's gonna change, also, multiple times in your life. Like, not everyone's gonna be in their, like, expertise, like, perfect place, like, all the time. Like, it's gonna shift. Like, sometimes somebody's, like, gonna be really good at preaching, and the Lord might actually, like, call them out of it and want them to be just an elder.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't put your identity in where your gifts lie.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. Completely separate. Mm-hmm. Like, you have your identity, and you have your anointing, because if you're a believer, you have an anointing, you have a choice to walk in it or not.
Right.
And to feed it.
Right.
And to, like, nurture that.
Right.
But you do have it.
Yeah.
And the Lord has that for you if you want it.
It's good.
But, like, it's also completely separate from your value and your identity.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we look at people and admire their anointing, we're able to admire it and see it because they steward it well.
Right.
And so we should be able to look at that as firm in our identity believers and say, oh man, I'm so encouraged by the way that they steward their anointing to the point where I can see it on them. Mm-hmm. I should do the same because God gave them that specifically because the things that they experienced in life, the things that they're passionate about and the things that God made them for are how they're able to do that anointing so well. I want people to be able to see the anointing that God gave me as well as I see it on them. And like, it should be encouragement for us to run our race better because it goes back to what we were talking about before. We're all created so specifically. Like, I would not be able to do Lydia's anointing. I cannot draw to save my life. I can't do half the things that she does. And it would probably be the same thing for a lot of my friends and a lot of people in my life. And I'm truly able to walk out what God has for me in the times that I'm sitting with him. And I'm stewarding my time with him. And I'm stewarding... allowing him to do the heart work in me and give me passions.
Right.
Because I didn't know what I was passionate about until I started spending time with the Lord.
Right.
I actually used to hate public speaking and talking so much. And it's so funny how much that changed when I gave my life to the Lord and I started walking with him, where I'm like, oh man, he like kind of gives me a lot to say. This is crazy. Because I thought I hated talking in front of people, but now I love it. And so, yeah, it's just a matter of stewarding that in the secret place. If you want an anointing, I would also encourage you to want Jesus more than the anointing, because that was such a crazy conviction that I had last year, where I was like, God, I just want to be like really kind and really thoughtful, and I want to be a crazy evangelist. And I was looking at all these people in my life where I'm like, I want all those characteristics. And he was like, Lily, you can't just pray for them and expect me to give them to you. You naturally get those, like, the more that you spend time with me, right, and the more that you let me mold you. Right. Like, you have to want me first.
Right.
I'm like, oh, perfect.
Yep. It's literally, like, that verse. Oh, what is it? It's about, like, being transformed from glory to glory.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, true anointing comes when God is the biggest prize in your eyes, because then you're just overflowing from your love with him, and you're right, overflowing from being passionate about him.
Right.
So nothing else matters, and you don't have a different perspective, which is how anointing happens, mm-hmm, is you're just submitting to him,
yeah,
and letting him use you instead of trying to perform,
yep,
or trying to prove.
Yeah.
And it's like, you also, like, with that verse, like, it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you're looking in this mirror, like, that mirror is what, how you view God, and it's going to project onto how you view yourself.
Yeah.
And if you see God in a wrong light, like, it's going to reflect on the way that you're acting, because you're like, mm-hmm, oh, I know how God would approach the situation, but it's simply not how he would.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, like, you get brought closer to whatever your knowing of God is.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you see Jesus rightly, when you're chasing after Jesus, you're going to start to be walking like him.
Yeah.
And in him well, like what you're saying, like, having, yeah, that anointing comes from just knowing Jesus well and wanting him. Like, do so you just good. Want him? Like, it's just a byproduct, because,
yeah,
no wonder that person looks like Jesus. They've been spending a whole lot of time with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know. Like, you've been spending a lot of time with the Lord. I know.
Yep.
I know when I see it. There's a reason why you desire that.
Yeah.
Like, your, like, spirit is so hungry for that. And, mm-hmm, you, like, need to just start to.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Just start to feast on the word.
Right.
And it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And lean into your convictions and,
yeah,
thanksgiving at all times.
If you could give the listeners one huge takeaway, like, if they forgot everything that you said, what is, like, one big piece of advice that you would give them to walk away with?
To know who you are, you have to know who he is. Yeah.
Okay, she said one sentence, mic drop moment.
It all comes back to that verse, like,
yeah,
that 2 Corinthians 3:18, like, you're gonna know, like, your true identity is found in him. And, like, that's such a cliche thing, but we literally just talked about what that means.
Yeah. To know who you are, you have to know who he is.
Yeah.
That's so far.
Yeah.
And then in knowing who he is, you can celebrate the way that other people are starting to look like him.
So, I usually end every episode with prayer. Do you want to pray us out?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
awesome. Ooh, cute little Pookie's hand. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time that we got to just dig deeper into who you are, God. I thank you for who you've made us as daughters, Lord, to be encouragers and exhorters of each other, Lord. I thank you for just the gentle spirits that you've put in all of your daughters, Jesus. Just, it's in our makeup, and I just thank you, God, for the ways that you're equipping us to walk in that, to be more like Jesus, Lord. So would you just continue to speak to us, Lord. Give us revelation in the secret place, us and everyone who's listening, Lord, just on this topic, God, that we may honor you in all that we do and give thanks, God, for everything that you're planning in us in this time. So we love you, Lord. All is for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.